Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church, as you know, and it's God's house, the place He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Over the past few months, many of our sermons have touched on God's holiness and the fact that God is going to judge us. And I've mentioned several times in our messages the consequences that await those who do not follow God's teachings and who do not accept Him as their Savior. And today we're going to God's Word, to the chapter in the Bible that lays out in graphic detail the consequences of our actions. And that's Revelation. And our text this morning is Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And I invite you to take your Bible or one in the pew rack in front of you and follow along as I read Revelation 6, verses 1 through 8. And this is John, the author of Revelation, talking about being in heaven, and he's standing before the throne of God, and in God's right hand is a scroll, and we'll talk about the significance of that scroll in a moment. But then Jesus takes the scroll, and that's where we pick up with John's story. Chapter 6, verse 1. I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. The next event in God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church. And after the rapture of the church occurs, there will begin a seven-year period on earth like none before. The Bible names it the Great Tribulation, and chapter 6 through 19 of Revelation, it paints us a graphic picture of this gruesome period. It will be a horrible, terrible, and frightening time. Listen to what Jesus says about the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24:21. "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." What an amazing and frightening statement. When you think of all the wars and disease and famines and plagues and tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanic eruptions, which has happened since Jesus walked the earth, and now he says it will be such as the world has never seen until that time, nor ever will again. So now, let me back up a moment. In chapter 5 in Revelation, as I said, John is having revealed to him the events that he records in what we call the book of Revelation. And he's there before the throne of God, and he sees God sitting on his throne, and God has in his right hand, a scroll. And this scroll is sealed with 7 seals. The scroll, we are told by biblical scholars, is the title deed to the earth. And the question is asked, who is worthy to open the scroll? And John tells us that the answer is only Jesus is worthy to break the seals and open the scrolls. In other words, who can reclaim ownership of the earth from Satan? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus alone is worthy to do that. So in our text, in these first 4 verses, and even on further in chapter 6, the 7 seals are open. But we know from John's writing that as the first 4 seals are broken, or as all the seals are broken, the horrors of the great tribulation are loosed, and they will unfold before our very eyes. And the first 4 seals loose the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. And I want us to consider each rider on those horses. Now the first horse, the rider on the first is the rider on the white horse. And we know from our text that the rider had a bow and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This is the Antichrist. Even though he's on a white horse, and we're told in the last chapter of Revelation that Jesus will return on the second coming as a conqueror on a white horse, this is the Antichrist. This is the imposter. The white horse symbolizes conquest. The bow symbolizes power and warfare, and the crown symbolizes dominion over others. But there is coming one last and final dictator on this earth, the Antichrist, the imitator of Jesus, and he will come on a platform of peace. But nevertheless, this last world dictator will bring death and destruction to this earth. Now, while God does not will death and destruction, humanity's free will can allow us to misuse that free will, to misuse that power, and treat others as a means to an end. God allows humanity to pursue its own selfish ends, its own selfish goals, and the consequences of those pursuits are represented by the 4 horsemen. The rider on the white horse will come in peace. Notice that it says nothing about him carrying arrows. It just says he has a bow in his hand. And many powerful generals from the beginning of time until today waged military campaigns bent on conquest, but yet initially they convinced the people that they conquered that they came in peace. So the first rider is conquest personified. And although this human leader will think he is in charge here on earth, John knew that the victor's crown that he wore upon his head was permitted only by God and to the extent that God allows. Now the second rider is on a red horse, and he comes and he's given the power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. We know that the color red signifies blood and war. But the Antichrist comes on a platform of peace. His plans for governing the world seem to be workable. His plans for world peace seem logical as he explains it to us. And this plan propels him to power. And he will accomplish what has never been done before, and that is peace in the Middle East. But it will not last. We're told that during the midpoint of the tribulation, and most Bible scholars believe the tribulation to be 7 years, so after 3.5 years, the rider of the red horse will take peace from the earth that has been brought by the Antichrist. And the destruction of peace will come first from nation warring against nation, and then it will become even more violent as men fight against men. And the spirit of hatred will inflame the hearts of man. Remember, at this point, the church has already been raptured or taken away. And the Holy Spirit is no longer here to offer comfort and peace to those experiencing the tribulation. Hatred will be so intense that men will kill each other for no obvious reason. The chaos and confusion will be horrendous. We think today's society is violent, but God's word tells us that such violence is nothing compared to the malicious slaughter which will take place during the Great Tribulation. So the rider of the red horse is warfare personified, and throughout history, we know that this second rider, warfare, has always followed the first rider, conquest. And we come to the third rider on a black horse, as set forth in verses 5 and 6 in that text. And this rider was holding a pair of scales in its hand. This rider represents famine. The horror he brings forth has been common to every generation since the beginning of time. And most of us know that warfare, particularly in the last decades of the 20th century, has led to famine and starvation and many fleeing people migrating from war-torn countries in Africa and Asia and Europe, resulted in refugees camped with suffering beyond measure. And in ancient times, persons fared no better. They too were subject to starvation. So as a result of famine, as a result of this rider, food becomes scarce and food will be weighed like gold. So the rider, famine, is holding a pair of scales. And this means that the weight of food will be more critically important in this time of scarcity than in good times. And these verses inform us that a person must work all day to receive enough wheat or barley to sustain himself, much less his family. Now, the difference between wheat and barley, and we won't get into it in depth, but I'll just tell you, because the scriptures tell us that the fourth creature The fourth living creature said, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. Wheat was very edible, could be used in a lot of ways. Barley was not. It was a cheap wheat, if you will. So you could get three times as much barley working for a day's work as you could wheat. But even that was not enough, will not be enough to sustain a family. And the mention of the oil and wine, most biblical scholars think that is a reference to the fact that luxuries, which oil and wine were, will be available during the Great Tribulation to those who sell their soul to the Antichrist and barter for such luxuries and have the wealth to purchase such luxuries. The rider on the black horse is the personification of famine. He will bring starvation and deprivation to the world, the likes of which have never been known. The fourth rider is a rider on a pale horse. When the fourth seal is opened, John says, the fourth living creature says, come, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and following it was Hades. Now, pale, the word pale in Greek translates, is chloros, and gives us our word chlorine and chlorophyll. It refers to a green-gray color, like the color of a human corpse. And during the tribulation, Great Tribulation, we're told that 1/4 of the earth's population will die. And if that occurred today, that would be little over 1 billion people would be killed. This fourth rider represents death, and wherever the rider's conquest, warfare, and famine travel, then death follows behind. Unlike the first three riders, death has a companion, and the companion is named Hades, which means in Christian theology, abode of the dead or the grave. In Greek mythology, Hades was the god of the underworld, down under the ground. And Hades appears in Revelations 4 times, and each time he is following death. So what an unbelievable chain reaction will take place. First, the Antichrist will come and conquer the world with his plan for peace and his charisma. And then warfare comes, which will result in the division of peoples and the fighting of nations among themselves and man against man, and death will come through military disaster. And then next will come famine. Famine will bring starvation and deprivation, which also will result in death. And as if this is not enough for humanity to suffer, God sends the fourth rider, death itself. Death will claim our body, and Hades will claim our soul for those who are still here during the Great Tribulation. These two are given the power to kill by the sword, to kill by famine, and even to use the wild beast on the earth to kill man. Now, my goal today is not to scare you, but wise is the man or woman who recognizes the wrath of God and who calls upon God to save them from hell if he or she has not done so before. If you are not saved, you have good reason to be afraid. The four horsemen are ready to ride. They are in the saddle, and I believe if you will put your ear to the ground, you will hear them coming. In my opinion, the stage is set this very day for the Great Tribulation, for the rapture of the church, and then the Great Tribulation to begin. And once the rapture of the church occurs, and the seals are removed from the scrolls, the four horsemen will ride. And they are God's posse. They are the ones that he has authorized to bring fulfillment to his prophecy as set forth in his word. And woe unto him or her who is not a child of God. If you pick up your Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other, I don't think it's too difficult to determine we are in the shadow of the end times. The flames of judgment are on the horizon. I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom today. I'm just trying to tell you what God's Word tells us. This isn't something made up by Earl. This isn't something made up by scientists. This isn't something made up by some religious leader to frighten us, to contribute to his or her religion. This is what God's Word says. And the bottom line is, if you are not saved, you better get saved. And it's so wonderful that God gives. Underline that word, gives. God gives us the gift of salvation. He gives us salvation. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. He gives it to us if we but accept Jesus as our Savior. And if you have not done that today, I can't do it for you. The person sitting next to you can't do it for you. Only you can do that. And only by doing that can you be assured that the Great Tribulation, while it'll be horrifying and devastating to those who are not children of God, you can be sure that you will be in heaven with Him. And we invite you to accept Him as your Savior as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 325, Whiter Than